the hackers who tried to steal Christmas for Microsoft and Sony gaming fans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update coming to you from Washington today. Christmas is always a busy day for Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation's computers as people unwrap their new game consoles and try to log on. But in what may be the Grinch move of the season, hackers claim to have orchestrated a digital attack that has been slowing or halting those gaming networks since yesterday. Ben Johnson with our sibling program Marketplace Tech joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Morning, David.
We're hearing about the group allegedly behind this. What do we know so far?
Yeah, so the group taking responsibility is called Lizard Squad. This is a group of so-called black hat hackers that actually has a history of attacking gaming networks and saying that the big companies making the games don't spend enough time making video games better for the user. Lizard Squad posted messages on Twitter saying they were responsible for taking their networks down and said they would stop their attacks if users retweeted their messages on Twitter. Though we should note, as always, that beyond taking their word for it, it's always hard to identify the origin of these kinds of attacks.
Do you have any idea how the hackers, if it was hackers, brought down these networks?
Well, Lizard Squad has messed with live gaming networks before with DDoS or distributed denial of service attacks by overwhelming the system. Gamers were actually able to play games offline, just not able to play games that required an internet connection.
So bad day for Microsoft, but for Sony, this seems like adding embarrassment to injury or worse.
The latest hack suggests that Sony still doesn't have its house in order when it comes to protecting against hacking attacks. We should note, though, that as far as hacking goes, this attack seems very different from the one leveled at Sony Pictures, both in target, alleged origin, and also motivation. Both companies have acknowledged issues and say they're working on them, and people may start to come online today.
All right, we'll watch for that. Marketplace Tech host Ben Johnson. Ben, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Want to not make friends or to influence people at, say, a bar? Try going on about trade policy. But NAFTA and other trade agreements may have altered the texture of American business and the job market more than any other set of policies. And there are new trade agreements in the works that could play prominently in our coverage in 2015. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been working on a preview. Good morning, Tracy.
Morning, David.
All right, so set the stage here on this trade policy.
Oh, man, we have a regular alphabet soup of acronyms. ITA, FTA, TPP. I promise not to use any of them.
She promises, but she just did use them.
But the big green light from the end of 2014 was a global trade facilitation agreement. It's possibly this trillion-dollar deal that seeks to smooth international customs procedures, among other things, for how goods move from place to place. This agreement, reached back in November, was a pretty big deal. Combine that with progress on another deal that would reduce tariffs on certain technology goods, and suddenly there's some hope for a whole slew of other agreements. Here's Derek Scissors with the American Enterprise Institute.
I would expect 2015 to be a pretty good year for trade because you have a number of irons in the fire. We're talking about an okay year or a very good year. Those are our two choices here.
Lots of deals in the works, lots of countries involved, so also lots of opportunities for those deals to get hung up or delayed.
I mean, when he says a good or decent year for trade, that is if the trade deals are structured in a way that ultimately creates jobs, don't exploit foreign workers, or wreck the environment, critics will say. But that said, what's up first?
Probably something here at home called the Trade Promotion Authority. Congress gives the U.S. president a list of priorities or guidelines around trade and gives him the power to negotiate deals. Congress still gets to approve those deals, but as long as the agreement follows the guidance they set up, it's a straight up or down vote, no amendments. This authority needs to be renewed, which Congress seems likely to take up in the new year. Scissors says the outcome of that could be a bellwether of sorts.
Does it happen when it's supposed to happen? Does it pass? If it gets delayed or there's a vote and it fails, we've lost most of the momentum.
If it does pass, well, then we likely move on to a Pacific trade agreement. 12 countries, including Japan, which would further open its agriculture market to U.S. goods. If that passes, it bodes well for a European trade agreement, and so on.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. What was the nadir of service in the economy class cabin beyond Ryanair in Europe charging to use the toilet? Maybe it was being dunned $3 for a Sprite on a flight to Sacramento that time. Some airlines these days are now trying to make life in coach a bit less contemptuous with fluffier headrests, bigger video screens. But as Sam Harnett reports, this is happening even as the seats are getting smaller.
The whole shrinking airplane seat situation makes Joe Brancatelli think of a Marx Brothers joke.
Groucho calls up and says, "Hello, room service, can you send up more room?"
Instead, they send more people to Groucho's tiny room. Brancatelli runs Joe Sent Me, a website for business travelers. He says perks like larger video screens are distractions from slimmer seats, which are now 7 inches less than an average desk chair. Meanwhile, he says first class keeps getting nicer.
It really is a yawing gap culturally, and people are beginning to seize on this and say, well, it's just like what's going on in society.
The growing difference between first class and coach is something Chris Lapinto's noticed. He's co-founder of ExpertFlyer.com, and he points to how American Airlines is concentrating more on first class as it upgrades its fleet.
That's the way it is because that's where a lot of the revenue comes from.
Lapinto says American Airlines economy flyers will get some upgrades, like more personal video screens, power outlets, and pay-as-you-go Wi-Fi. As for the seats, he says, if anything, they're going to get a tad smaller. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
We're also reporting today on an experiment at Walmart to let people swap gift cards from competitors. You don't get the full value from the other card. If you missed our coverage on the air, it's part of our Morning Report podcast online. What sticks out for me is the estimate that people will waste $1 billion this year by either losing or forgetting gift cards that still had value. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.